Welcome to the Food Matters Live podcast, where we showcase the innovations, the big ideas, and the visionaries in the food industry. We dig deep, we look to the future and the past, and we question everything we think we know about food. I'm Anthony Zara, and this episode has been made in partnership with Baking with LaSaf and BioSpringer by LaSaf. The world of food is constantly changing, whether it's customer preferences, concerns about the environment, or global affairs having an impact on supply chains, and we've certainly had a few of those in recent years. The food industry is remarkably resilient, partly because it's good at adapting. In this episode, we're meeting two businesses with incredible history that are leading the charge into the future, and part of the solution to some of the challenges on the horizon, they believe, is fermentation. We'll explore how they're adapting to shifting consumer demands, the role of yeast and sourdough in the food industry, and why fermented-based solutions are having a resurgence. We'll also take a look ahead to Food Matters Live in Manchester, where both Baking with LaSaf and BioSpringer by LaSaf will be appearing. There's a lot to unpack, so let's get started and welcome our guests. So Roy Parton is Commercial Director at LaSaf UK and Ireland. Hello, Roy.
Hi, Anthony.
And Daryl Smith is Business Manager for UK and Ireland at BioSpringer. Hello, Daryl.
Hello, Anthony. Hello, Roy.
Great to have you both on the podcast. Right, let's start with a bit of background. So, Roy, for those who don't know, what can you tell us about LaSaf and its history?
Well, Anthony, LaSaf is a global leader in the production of yeast and fermentation products. You know, the company has a rich history dating back over 170 years now. LaSaf was actually founded in 1853 in the northern city of Lille in France. So it's family-owned, French-based global business. And it really goes back to when Louis Pasteur discovered the yeast and the yeast cell, and LaSaf were the company to really commercialize yeast that you know today from there, really. And they started actually in alcohol brewing, beverages with yeast fermentation, but then transitioned from the brewing into the baking industry as the bakery industry really took off, really became more commercialized, more industrialized. They needed yeast and they needed more yeast for fermentation. And this is where LaSaf really started to grow their business in this industry, really. And then since then, bakery has grown, but also other areas within fermentation has also grown. As more yeast strains and yeast cells are discovered, suddenly there's lots more innovation and new products that can come out of fermentation. And really, LaSaf have grown from there. They've expanded into different business units, expanding their portfolio. So now it's not just about bakery, like Baking with LaSaf. It's very much about nutrition and health, biotechnology, and lots of specialty ingredients all coming from the base of fermentation.
Fantastic. And Daryl, so we've got two giants on, really, because BioSpringer has a rich history too. And is it right, it all started about 150 years ago?
Yes, Anthony, that's correct. As you say, our story begins in 1872 when the company was founded. And ever since then, we've been at the forefront of yeast-based ingredient innovation. I think also we've seen many tremendous advances in food science and technology. And we've been able to stay ahead by investing heavily into R&D as well as our application centers. And I think that's quite key for the future as well, is looking at the R&D part. So how you make yeast extracts, as well as how to apply yeast extracts using the technologists that we have, and of course pushing the boundaries to see what's possible. We say yeast is a microorganism with endless possibilities. It's a small microorganism, but one that's very powerful, and I'm quite sure there's many more innovation to come in the future based on yeast as well as fermentation.
Yeah, fabulous. So all of that history obviously brings a wealth of knowledge and experience. But it's about looking to the future as well, isn't it? So how do you, both companies, how do you make sure you keep evolving?
Well, LaSaf has for a long time been recognized as an industry leader in fermentation. And it really goes back to the research and development. You cannot stand still in any industry. You have to keep moving. You have to keep evolving. The market changes, the trends are changing. The requirements of the industry is ever evolving. So LaSaf as a company, we always need to evolve, and we really do that through R&D. You know, that's really at the heart of our company. We operate a global network of R&D centers. We have over 1,000 specific scientists, engineers, and technical experts. You know, all working for the company to really develop and innovate and grow the company from there. We've got a really robust R&D infrastructure, and that's how we keep ahead, ahead of the development, always moving, always looking to grow within the market, within fermentation, biotechnology, food science, nutrition. And really, for the baking side, for where I am, Anthony, so the baking side is we've implemented the baking center network. So LaSaf were the first company to implement and patent the baking center. The baking center is essentially bakers speaking to bakers. You know, you have to speak the same language as your customers. You have to know what the requirements are, you know, really be customer centric and speak that same language. But the language always evolves. You know, now we're speaking different needs, such as sustainability or certain technical requirements. So we have to keep understanding our markets together. So with the baking center network, we have, you know, over 50 baking centers across the world now, and this keeps expanding and growing because we really believe actually knowing what our customers need, understanding their requirements, and really showing them how we can support them as a supplier to really speak that language and give them their needs. And this is something that we will continue to do more and more from there.
Yeah, I suppose on the face of it, that seems obvious, but you can totally see how, particularly a company that's been going for as long as LaSaf has, you become so big and so successful that you sort of forget about your customers. But obviously that's something that LaSaf have put at the heart of what they're doing.
Yeah, and can I just say as well, so R&D we mentioned is really the heart of that business. And LaSaf has grown, you know, just outside of baking, I mentioned all these different business units. So really to drive that innovation pipeline, what LaSaf have done, they've created the Baking Forum, where basically we put all these great minds of R&D, so the heads of the R&D from each of the business units. You have all this amazing innovation, information, technology, inspiration in their heads. We created this facility, and what's based in the facility is mainly just R&D. And it's a great facility to bring customers there because suddenly you have the R&D from nutrition speaking with the R&D from baking, with the R&D from biotechnology, and suddenly you have new innovations over a cup of coffee within the facility, and suddenly then that creates new products. And our innovation pipeline since having this facility has been absolutely amazing.
Darryl,
Anthony. Yes, I think Roy also to mention is a good time here about the little campus with all the R&D experts all based on one site. That's quite a new couple of years ago that it was inaugurated. I think that's also for the future where the SURF has seen the importance of having everybody on one site to integrate and work across business units. That's quite important for the future as well, from what I can see. And I think also looking at BioSpringer and our culinary center network, it's learning from the baking center network and taking across that concept of having dedicated people, dedicated resource in dedicated areas to work with our global, local and regional customers. And that's definitely one area that we've developed over the last 20 years or so. And definitely it's one for the future where we want to improve what we have available at the culinary centers as part of our global approach, identifying trends, understanding the trends, seeing how they move, looking at our innovation pipeline, seeing what gaps there could be in the market for us. So making some tailored bespoke solutions for our customers. And working together, I think working with our distributors, working with our local sales teams, and it's a good network. And for other business units outside of baking and BioSpringer, they also have the centers of excellence as well. So I think research, you can see it's an important part of the history and the expertise of not only the past, but also for the future. And yes, we have a lot of experience, but we have a lot to learn as well. So. a lot of relationships we have with universities, with startups, with many other organizations as well. It's an important part of how we work and how we want to work for the future to find the next important breakthrough for yeast fermentation and microorganisms.
So, Daryl, all of this sounds really exciting. I wonder what it's like for you, if you could just give us an insight for you, what it's like to work at a company that's obviously so invested in the research and development, so invested, like you say, working with universities and stuff like that. What's sort of the best part of your job? What's it like to work for a company like that?
Yes, I think I've been here 4 years now. Definitely, you know, feels like I've been here much longer than that. I think it's a company where you can learn. You can learn from the experts. You know, even on a local level, we're having some interactions with some of the universities in the UK. So providing our solutions to them, their students, they're doing some research on texture, on taste. We have some tastings with them to give their advice. So working at LeCerf gives you those opportunities to take the decisions you need to progress. It's a great company, great values. And we live those values every day. And I think each one of the 11,000 employees has those LeCerf values installed with us. And that's why we were selected and why we wanted to join such a great company and for the future too.
Lovely. Okay, so looking at the relationship between LeCerf and BioSpring, how do the two companies work together in the UK market?
Yes, I think being locally present and having a local relationship with LeCerf UK and Ireland, I think it makes it a lot easier for us to work together. We have some common customers. We're doing some joint developments on some of the key trends and some of the key products. Of course, from a more global level, BioSpringer is supplying some products as well to LeCerf for some of their blends they're making. So at both a top level and a local level, we have a good interaction. We can share knowledge across, especially working on some key customers, local customers. We have joint meetings, joint developments, and really position LeCerf as the partner of choice because, yes, some of our customers are working across categories as well. So it's important for those customers to show kind of a one company approach, one voice approach, and bringing the expertise of each business unit together to provide the value to the customer so they can progress with their challenges which they are facing.
Okay, so Roy, we have briefly mentioned trends and insights. I wonder are you seeing some patterns among consumers about what's driving their behavior at the moment?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, trends are always there. Trends are always changing. Trends are always evolving. And yeah, like I said before, we have to understand what those are and we have to evolve ourselves. But, you know, today, you know, ultimately, most of our products ends up with the consumer. So, you know, the consumers today are increasingly conscious about the foods, what they purchase, you know, have new generations coming in and they have different demands, different needs, different wants from there. And that's especially true in the food and the bakery sector. You know, some of the key concerns driving trends include, you know, desires to be healthier, you know, healthier products now, more nutritious options, as well as, you know, a big growing focus on sustainability and the environmental impact of those foods in the supply chain as well. And again, this is something now we can't always just speak about the technical aspects about our products, but it's also about the environmental impacts of our products. And, you know, it's that holistic approach of what we bring to the market from there. But, you know, consumers, they're looking for brands that have a positive, proactive approach to addressing these priorities as well. So, you know, it's proven that holistic approach to the consumer really impacts the sales of goods. You know, it's not just having the best flavor anymore or the best looking brand anymore. You know, you really have to tell that story, which obviously we can drive through the marketing aspect. But being a supplier to the industry, you know, it's really to portray all these added value that we can bring to our customers. And then ultimately, you know, that helps them evolve with their consumers as well.
Okay, Daryl, when it comes to plant-based alternatives. Maybe we could talk about that for a bit. You know, certainly a few years ago, I felt like you couldn't move for plant-based alternatives. Is that buzz still there that we were seeing a few years ago, or are things starting to change?
Yes, Anthony, for sure. We're seeing quite a few shifts in the market. I think the market's quite saturated at the moment. A few years ago, I think the novelty factor and desire for more sustainable options were the primary drivers behind the surge in plant-based products, which we saw. But now I think it's more about using actual vegetables, whole vegetables, making a plant-based product, rather than trying to copy a meat product and make a vegan product taste like a meat product, like burgers, etc. I think those products are in the past, and the shift for the future has changed for sure. I think it's more about taste, about quality, texture. These are the important factors consumers are looking for, and about the overall sensory experience as well. I think that's really important. And with that, I think our solutions are perfectly positioned to deliver on those expectations that the consumers have.
Sure. What do you think's behind that shift? Do you think it was just a bit of a bubble, like people were excited? I mean, I remember you'd try burgers because it was like, oh, is this one even closer, even more meaty than a meat burger, you know?
Yes, I think obviously there's a lot of ethical considerations as well, why people are vegan. I think along with COVID, I think people were cooking at home, the whole market and that was changed. And then yes, everybody is wanting to get onto the trend. I think Roy mentioned that trends are here, trends come and go. And I think one of the vegan burger type products, that was one of the trends and everybody was making those. But I think from a taste, a texture point of view, when people were comparing it to the equivalent of a meat product, I think it was lacking in both in taste, in texture. And now people are looking for other alternatives that are more healthy. Obviously, ultra-processed food, that's a big topic too. So people are looking to become more healthy, using more healthy ingredients, using kind of kitchen cupboard ingredients, and I think yeast is perfectly positioned to capture that market with the benefits that it can bring for food and beverage products.
Cool. Well, do you want to talk me through some of the some of that then about yeast? So how it addresses some of those concerns that we're seeing around plant-based?
Yeah, sure. I think one of the exciting products we have is about yeast protein. Obviously, it's a sustainably produced product and has many uses for sports nutrition. Obviously, there's a growing demand still for plant-based options, even though the market has shifted. The demand is still there. And I think there's a big market to capture in terms of the flexitarians. So to get people to have at least one or two plant-based meals every week, I think that's where the focus should be more on kind of hybrid products as well. You see that starting to be communicated a lot in the press. So not just having a pure vegan product, but combining a vegan product with a meat-based product to have a hybrid product. So to cater for those people that aren't 100% vegan. And yes, we have a product which we've recently launched to give some Kukumi effect. It's our Springer Cocoon 4105, which is perfectly working to deliver that sensory experience for plant-based products to give a rich, indulgent mouthfeel. It's based on yeast, sustainably produced. It helps with the palatability as well, which is resonating with consumers. So clean label, sustainable. These are the topics we see consumers looking for. Clear label, clean label, many different ways to speak about it. But I think it's all going in the same direction and looking at the functional benefits and ethical part as well, as I mentioned before, makes yeast a powerful tool for manufacturers to develop plant-based alternatives, which can compete with traditional offerings in taste, texture, nutrition, which are the important parts of the products.
Great. So you mentioned Springer Cocoon there. Do you have any other examples or concepts that showcase how you're meeting these consumer needs? It doesn't just need to be plant-based. It could be on things like taste and some of the other things that have been mentioned.
Yeah, sure. So BioSpringer is working on taste. So we have seven different categories of products. Another one which we've recently launched is our Springer Mask 102, It's a bitter blocker, so it's blocking the bitter receptors on the tongue. It's the second one in our range, and we're doing some more work to really understand how that that product is working. As I mentioned, our yeast protein, it's definitely one we're promoting a lot and has a lot of benefits, even for plant-based cheese. It can boost and improve the nutritional profile because it has a good quality, complete source of protein with all the essential amino acids. So even in dairy-free products, it can be used, meat substitutes, definitely a versatile product. And I think that's another great benefit of yeast. It's very versatile. You can use many different products, combine them to create a good tasting product for consumers.
Lovely. Roy, fermentation isn't new. It's been around for many, many, many years. So, but is it having a new lease of life? And if it is, what's behind that?
Yeah, so there's 9 billion people expected to be in tomorrow's reality by 2050. That's an unprecedented challenge in history. You know, how can we successfully feed us all, you know, as healthy as possible, you know, when resources are ultimately becoming scarcer and even lower quality? You know, for centuries, you know, you mentioned fermentation is nothing new. But for centuries, fermentation has been used to fight food waste, you know, preserve food, and enhance flavors. And at LASAF, we strongly believe that fermentation is the answer to feed those 9 billion expected people in 2050 in a safer, healthier, and more sustainable way. You know, so absolutely, fermentation is indeed having a new lease of life. You know, we mentioned we're continually driving forward through R&D. But when consumers are also evolving, that's great opportunity to evolve with them. You know, so through yeast and through fermentation, you know, we're able to answer those questions from the consumers, you know, to offer, you know, more natural, less processed, free from artificial additives, you know, in foods, you know, directly through the fermentation process. And then additionally, the sustainability advantages of fermentation, like upcycling waste, you know, resonate with those environmentally friendly consumers.
I think also, Anthony, fermentation has been around for thousands of years. Everybody knows it's used to make beer and bread, you know, two products going back thousands of years. So it's got a lot of traction. You're seeing many new products being launched with fermentation. So for sure, it's definitely one of the solutions to tackle the challenges that we have to produce healthy, safer, and more sustainable food and beverage products.
Yeah, and you would think as well from a consumer point of view, look, it's a process that you know, you've understand, you know, you've seen it in action previously. It's not some, you know, it's not something new out of the blue that scientists have concocted. This is something that's been going on for, as you say, for centuries. That should be in a way reassuring for consumers and quite attractive, actually.
Exactly. You know, yeast, you know, people resonate with yeast. They understand yeast and how essentially it ferments and rises bread, for example. So it's nothing that really is complex for consumers to really resonate with. So that's a real, sort of really good base for us to build fermentation on, you know, to bring sort of new exciting products to the market on there. But in LASAF, we say, you know, yeast is not yeast. So for example, LASAF have the largest library of yeast strains within our portfolio in the world. And we say only 10% of yeast strains are actually discovered in the entire world, which is really exciting. You have, you've only discovered 10% of yeast strains, and there's another 90% to discover. So, you know, what are the possibilities in the future? It's completely endless at the moment. You know, and from those 300 different strains, you know, we can use the different strains together, ferment them in different ways, and ultimately create different products, different yeast, different fermentation products that can really sort of, you know, answer those consumer demands.
I think also, sorry Anthony, just to jump in again here, just coming back to fermentation, there's also some organizational bodies. So EuroZip, which is the European Association of Speciality Yeast Producers for Europe, and then there's a Savory Taste Alliance for America. So these bodies are also communicating on yeast, on fermentation to give more information to consumers, to the industry about the benefits of yeast. So there's many companies out there as well promoting why you should use yeast and fermentation and microorganisms. LISERF also had its Powered by Yeast campaign as well to promote yeast and the benefits of yeast. So more and more for the future, there's more to come in that area as well on communication, education. The journey's only started, and for sure there's much more to achieve in our industry, both on baking and with BioSpringer for taste.
I was wondering if we could talk about the business case for using some of these ingredients. So obviously there's the initial sale. There's, you know, you might create a product that people want to buy, but is there a sort of longer term advantage to using yeast and fermentation?
Absolutely. You know, for instance, there's a huge surge in fermentation with sourdough. You know, sourdough products now, you know, completely penetrating the bakery and the food sector right now. You know, at one point sourdough was thought, is it a fad? Is it a trend that will go away? The answer has been no. You know, this is a long-term growth opportunity now with fermentation. So sourdough is almost becoming a core product, a core range on the supermarket shelves. And we recently actually created a study on sourdough, really to understand what that consumer really is wanting, why they're purchasing sourdough products. And we've created this study in partnership with Camden BRI, you know, a well-established research and development facility, as well as our own expertise, and also Viper for consumer insights. And we've taken all this data between all the three parties, you know, created by the SAF. And from this study, essentially, now we understand why the consumer is purchasing sourdough, what they're looking for from a flavor, from a sensory, from a buy-in habit. You know, why does that consumer want to buy this sourdough, and what do they want to achieve when they taste this sourdough and eat that sourdough product? Now we have the answers, and this is really helping us now to really drive our innovation pipeline around this. Because before, people were buying sourdough products because they, you know, ultimately they think, okay, it's healthy for me, it's better for me, it's better for digestion, it tastes better. So really, they didn't really understand why they were buying sourdough, but more and more people were proven to be buying sourdough. You know, over 60% of the population from this study are now buying sourdough products, which is huge from where it was only a few years ago. And now we have the answers to really understand why these consumers are buying sourdough, what these consumers want from sourdough products. And now we can evolve our products to really match that more and more. And this is how we can help our customers on that journey as well. So it's not a case of a short term, here's a quick fix of the SAF. No, it's very much a partnership approach. And we're always looking for that long-term longevity of our products, our partnerships with our customers.
And Roy, sustainability is such a key issue for the food industry. Where does fermentation fit into that conversation?
Yeah, at the heart of our product innovation, you know, sustainable ingredient solutions and sourcing are paramount. You know, we're always aligning our commitments with those of the consumers when it comes to sustainability. The power of fermentation allows us to create solutions that reduce, you know, product waste during production, improve shelf life. You know, products, byproducts from the production of fermentation go back into the environment. They feed the fields, they feed the animals. It's a holistic cycle through fermentation. So it's a very sustainable process that can bring some amazing solutions to the industry. And we're always working more and more with our customers. You know, it's not just about what we're doing as well, but it's how we can help our suppliers achieve their sustainable goals as well. You know, within sustainability, you have your scope ones, your scope twos, your scope threes. But ultimately, your scope ones and twos are with our customers. You know, so how can we help our customers on that journey as well? You know, I mentioned we need to speak the same language. So now we're starting to speak the same language of sustainability. So some of our products can really help our customers, our partners, you know, to reduce their carbon footprint, to reduce energy costs. There's things where we can build in, you know, automation. So again, it's not just about the product from LISERF. It's about the services that we offer. It's about the equipment services that we can bring in as well. Certainly with our yeast in bakery, you know, we help many businesses with automation, with systems that go along with our products, which are very then controlled, automated, improves the quality, but at the same time can bring lots of sustainable benefits
that, you know, reducing packaging, reducing waste, improving quality, reducing the products being wasted because the quality isn't as good as it should be. You know, there's tons and tons and tons of products, you know, that do not even meet the supermarket shelf because they do not meet the requirements, you know, for the retailers, the specification. So it's about how we can help our customers really achieve those results easily in a sustainable way.
Yes, I think Roy touched on an important point there of the life cycle of yeast. We say it's a virtuous life cycle. So a lot of our what we would say is waste streams is used in other productions, going to other factories. So I think that's we have some good videos on our YouTube channels and on our websites as well, where we speak about the virtuous life cycle of yeast and where it's going and that. So it starts with the beet, the sugar beet, and then it goes through the whole process. And it then the waste stream of the waste stream is ending up for fertilizer, which is then put back into the fields, and the sugar beet cycle is starting again. So it's a great story to learn, to tell, to share. And its sustainability, I think, is at the heart of what Le Cerf is doing for the future, looking at all areas of water, of energy, of packaging. Plastic pellets is an example for BioSpringer that we started to look at as well, to see how we can reduce the use of wooden pellets. Obviously, plastic pellets last longer; they can be recycled in the system. So yes, there's many areas in that we're looking at for the future as well.
Yeah, and also on the packaging side with baking with the SAF as well, it's becoming much more a crucial point of, you know, waste reduction, packaging reduction. So there's definitely things where we're evolving with on the packaging for not just the fermentation, the yeast, but also the ingredients coming from baking with the SAF as well. You know, moving to more sustainable packaging, move from plastics to paper, and actually even moving away from packaging in itself. You know, how can we actually remove packaging where there's other some new innovations to keep the shelf life of the products as well. So there's some exciting concepts coming through. There's also the automation of those products and the systems that we can offer for those products, again, to minimize that packaging. So really, yeah, we're keeping evolving on the packaging, on the waste reduction as well.
Lovely. Okay. Look, you're going to be appearing at the Food Matters live event in Manchester in May. What can people expect if they come along to see you?
Yes, we're very excited. We've been discussing for quite a while to join this Food Matters live event. And for sure, it's a fantastic platform for us to engage directly with our industry professionals and showcase the potential of our yeast-based solutions. If you come along to visit our session, you can expect an interactive experience. So our team of technical experts will be on hand to guide you through the latest product innovations. Some of them, which we've discussed during today, will be on hand as well to taste. And for sure, we can share more information on how they're working in today's food and beverage landscape. I think one of the key highlights will be the opportunity to actually taste the products. So it's good to hear about it, but I think, you know, when you can taste and experience it for yourself, so get to that customer experience that we were speaking about before as well, that makes all the difference, and to get a hands-on understanding of how our solutions can work in your formulations to bring the benefits of yeast to your food and beverage applications.
Lovely. And Roy, who are you hoping to have conversations with at the event?
Yeah, so this event, we're really hoping to connect with, you know, like-minded people, like-minded food manufacturing businesses and bakeries who really share our commitments to sustainability. You know, we want to have those real in-depth conversations with, you know, with key decision makers, the product developers, you know, research and developers who are actively seeking innovation, improve their efficiencies, you know, who ultimately want to meet more and more their consumers' demands, you know, for their growing requirements on the market. You know, specifically, we'd like to speak with R&D teams, work together to deliver healthier, tastier, and more sustainable bakery products, you know, creating the future of food. And I think there's going to be some really exciting out-of-box concepts that we can show at Food Matters live events. You know, bring the challenges to us as well. You know, for me, when we see challenges, there's always an opportunity to work together in partnership to find that solution, whatever that challenge may be. But I think we have some real core solutions that we can bring to the event.
And can I just add, Anthony, that this Food Matters Live event is the perfect platform for us to connect with forward-thinking industry leaders. We can't wait to share our expertise, our insights, and explore collaborative opportunities. I think that's what Roy was mentioning before as well. Bring us the challenge. I'm quite sure we can work together to find the solutions that you need to shape the food for the future.
Okay, Roy, and for people who attend the event, can you give us a bit more detail about what they'll actually do, what they'll experience?
Yeah, so just a bit of a teaser for our concept for LASAF and BioSpring about LASAF. The concept is the future of food that we want to really bring to the visitors that come to the LASAF room. So we really want to take people on a journey, what that future of food is. So as you enter the room, you will begin the journey. You will see different concepts or different stands along the way in this journey within the room. And then ultimately you will see some great innovations, some great ideas that all make up the future of food. And at the end of that journey, people be awarded a concept of the future of food that they're able to actually eat, taste, smell, experience. And that's what we really want to bring to our visitors at the stand in the room. You know, we really want to bring this experience of the future of the food.
Well, that's a great note to end on, I think. So, Daryl Smith and Roy Parton, thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot, Anthony.
So we've been talking about the Food Matters Live event where Baking with LASAF and BioSpringer by LASAF will be. It's taking place on May 13th and 14th at the iconic Old Trafford Cricket Ground in Manchester. If you visit foodmatterslive.com, you can register your interest in attending. I hope you enjoyed this episode made in partnership with Baking with LASAF and BioSpringer by LASAF. Thank you so much for listening.